Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
4:07 in the afternoon. Lee and Don, I want to get to you, but we do have another guest lined up here, so hang on. We'll get to you, and I want to go back to the O.J. Simpson story because it is certainly one of the top stories, not only of the day, but for quite some time. As we look outside and see more rain coming down, and it's a time that a lot of people want to get out there and put a spade in the ground and turn over the dirt and get things planted. But if you did that right now, you might sink up to your knees, as Doug Oster joins us right now. Doug is our garden guru. Doug, are you wearing hip waders these days that you use for fly fishing? What are you using for footwear when it comes to gardening in the rain?
Well, I'm actually inside, but I'm looking out the front window and I'm watching two deer walk right through my garden.
Outstanding. So, outstanding. They have windshield wipers on?
They're out in the rain. They don't have any boots on, though.
No.
So, yeah, this is not the time to be out in the garden, that's for sure. But, you know, things will dry out here. We'll get a couple of days of rain. And I always tell people, if you're digging in that soil and the dirt sticks to the shovel, stop.
Yeah,
it's going
just
to ruin
much.
Your soil structure. And, you know, in that case, what we do is we just get a couple bags of compost, throw it on top, and we can plant in that, because there's lots of stuff to plant right now, that's for sure.
Doug Oster joining us right now. Doug, I was out, as a matter of fact, earlier today when the rain had sort of gone between and was trying to dig up some dandelions in the front yard, and I realized your pH is wrong and all that kind of, I get that. But the point is, when I would take and put in the, you know, the dandelion puller into the ground, normally you're used to putting it in there and you press down and it just pops them right out, but now it just sort of sunk down to the ground all the way, so you're kind of going all the way around and sort of digging holes with the thing, rather than prying. It was just that wet. Is that true pretty much everywhere around southwestern Pennsylvania, or is it just in pockets?
No, it's just about everywhere now. You know, that last big rain we had, that was, you know, incredible. And now with this coming on here, everyone's dealing with the same thing. You know, it's too wet. But, you know, it's a chance to plant in containers. It's a chance to, you know, enjoy the, if you got daffodils blooming, you know, this has been a great daffodil season for people that didn't get their daffodils to bloom and are just too crowded. As soon as things dry out, we just kind of lift that big clump of daffodils, split them up, put the big ones back in, and then next year we'll get more flowers. But yeah, definitely. It's putting a damper on the gardening as far as digging and planting is concerned.
When you're splitting those massive bulbs, because they tend to sort of grow all together, they clump together like that, what are you splitting with? Are you using a garden trowel? Do you use a knife? Do you use garden scissors? What do you use?
I'm just gently teasing them apart with my hands, and you'll see that when you get in there, that you'll have one big bulb and then a bunch of little ones around it, and that will continue through the whole clump. And the little ones, you can replant them, but that's going to take a couple years to rebloom. What I do is I lift that clump up in wherever it's going to go. I put compost in there, and then I just leave the big ones in there. And you got to leave the foliage on there. That's going to feed the bulb. They're not going to like it, but it's the only time of the year we can really do this, that we can figure out where those bulbs are. And we used to mark them with like a stake and then do it in the fall, but ended up cutting them to pieces with a shovel. So just tease them apart with your hands and replant them, and you'll be surprised at how well they'll do the next, you know, four, five, six seasons.
Here we are 10 days or so after Easter. If people had lilies or they had, you know, flowers that they, you know, had purchased at church or something like that to remember somebody or honor somebody, have you had much luck taking those and transplanting those outside as it warms up? And when should we think about doing that, if so?
Well, I have had good luck doing that, and it's just certain types of plants. So number one, if you have daffodils, those are the ones to plant for sure. If you've got tulips, I wouldn't worry about it. They don't have quite as good as a success rate. And again, we're waiting until things dry out when we do that. But you could do it with hyacinths. You could do it with daffodils. You know, if you've got a hydrangea, as soon as we get probably another week or two into the season, you could put that hydrangea out, and they will survive and they will thrive.
Lilies too? Easter lilies?
Oh, that's the best thing. You know, for somebody like me, Mr. Cheapskate, I wait at the nursery until those Easter lily flowers drop off. You can't sell them. And I swoop in, get those for $2, put them in the ground, and you won't get them blooming next Easter, but they'll bloom next summer, year after year. Yeah, Easter lilies are, just like the daffodil, are one of the easiest ones to replant and have the most success rate of coming back.
Doug, don't call yourself cheap. Call yourself a value seeker. It's a little nicer term.
King of frugality.
There we go. Doug Oster joining us here on KDKA. What about spring vegetable gardens? I know you gave us your rule of thumb about, you know, if you still got mud that's on the trowel or on the shovel or the spade that it's too wet, don't do it. But what sorts of things should you have ready to go once things dry up here in the next, 6 or 8 months?
Well, plant-wise, 6 or 8 months.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. right off the bat, you know, nurseries are going to have all sorts of great plants, and I've already been out there. Beautiful lettuce plants. You know, there's butter crunch, and there's some that really are beautiful, like one called Freckles and one called Flashy Troutback, which you can imagine I love. Mm. And anything like those leafy greens, you know, also your broccolis, your kales. That's all stuff you can get in plant form that, again, in this condition, like what I've got them in now is just containers out in the garden. They can take anything, no matter how cold it gets. They don't care about frost. And then on the flower side, it's all about pansies and violas. Again, they love cool weather. They don't just survive. They thrive. All these plants we're talking about, they thrive in this cold weather. And, you know, to have that instant color, and again, it's containers right now, filling those containers up with pansies, man, and they're just going to love this rain. They're going to love the cool weather, and you're going to have beautiful color all the way through July 4th in that case.
Is there a difference between a viola and a violet? Are they same family but different species?
No, a viola is more like a pansy. It's just kind of a small pansy, but it does look similar to a violet. They're not the same species. And then I always get questions this time of the year, what do I do about my wild violets in the lawn? And I just say, enjoy them. They are beautiful, they are edible, and they are the host plant for many rare butterflies. And so don't worry about it. Don't worry so much. Those flowers will be gone. You won't even see them. You just have green foliage there. We call that in my area a quilted lawn, Rick.
Yes, yes. Do you actually pull them and put them on salads and things like that when you say edible? Are you using them in the kitchen?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. When you have a salad at my house, it is a leap of faith, my friend.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have flowers and dandelion greens. I can't believe you're pulling out those dandelions, Rick. Dandelions are one of the most nutritious plants on the planet. They're good for you, and they taste great, too.
I have a 10-quart bucket of them right now, Doug. You're more than welcome to come rinse some greens off all you like.
I'm on my way.
Yeah. By the way, how's your trout season been?
It was pretty decent. You know, I'm a winter trout fisherman, so I had a pretty good year. This rain has been blowing out all the streams, and so it's been tough to you know, get for the real trout season. But Don't worry, I'll get them.
I'm sure you will. And just remember, Doug, don't take the kayak out there on the streams. Use that on the lakes, okay?
I'm getting a brand new kayak for the streams tomorrow.
Of course you are. I should have known that you would. I should have known you couldn't stay out of the boat. Doug, thank you very much for being here. It's always good to hear your voice.
All right, Rick, great to talk to you.
Thanks. Doug Oster, he's our garden guru. Everyone gardens is what he says. And you can follow him, of course, online. His Facebook page is a wealth of information. You'll find him on X. You'll find him on a lot of different places. So if you need to know more, ask Doug. He is the best in the business.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.